Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. Thanksgiving turkeys in America used to be different. They came from a wide variety of breeds, they were healthy and raised outdoors on small family farms, their flavor? Exquisite. Continue this tradition with the same Heritage turkeys. Order yours now on www.heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985.
Welcome to Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. So have you eaten a good apple yet this season? You do know it's apple season, right? I mean, you've listened to my show for a while now. You know it's apple season. So have you had any? No? Well, I have. We went apple picking about, I don't know, a month ago, maybe? Mid-September? No. Wait, what month is it? It's November, right? Well, a while ago. We went apple picking, and it was a good year for apples. We got some really good fruit this year. Maybe the combination of all the rain and all the heat, all the snow, all the extremes, who the hell knows. But we got some really, really good fruit. And usually we pick enough apples in September to last like at least through Thanksgiving, but somehow this year they are all gone. Those apples were so good, we ate all of them. And so now I, of course, have been buying them at the farmer's market. And that's okay, too. I'm happy to support those guys and buy a few apples from them at a time. And that, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, I mean, picking them off the tree, buying them at a farmer's market, basically the same thing. I mean, that's as real food gets. I mean, if you want to get real, doesn't get any more real than that. I guess maybe if you grew them yourself, like if I had an apple tree in my front yard, which I did, actually, when I was a little kid. But they're, you know, that's it. Like just picked, crisp, juicy, sweet, fresh. Like the taste of like a real apple. There's nothing like that. Nothing can imitate it. And, you know, I grew up out on the East End of Long Island. I've talked about that before. And we would go picking every season, every fruit season there was, we would go picking. And so we picked apples in the fall and we would make pies and applesauce and all kinds of jazz like that. And, you know, we ate a lot of real fruit in my house. We'd pick peaches in the summer. We'd pick strawberries in the spring, apples in the fall. There was always picking going on. Whatever we didn't grow, we would pick. So the only, like, foodiness kind of fruit that we ever ate, or even close to foodiness fruit that we ate, was maybe, like, raisins. Although I don't consider raisins really foodiness. And maybe, like, a fig Newton now and then, although like they're pretty innocuous too. Like I would say a fig Newton is, you know, not too far down the foodiness scale. There wasn't a lot of like fakey, fruity filled goodness in our house. There was just a lot of real fruit goodness, and that's what we ate. And I think back then it was still easier to tell the difference. You know, like I've talked about this, like there's fruit and then there's junk, and there wasn't that much in between, which is, of course, what I call foodiness. Now, of course, the lines have been blurred. It's just this big, like, hazy, swirling blur of foodiness and foodiness fruit. And it's kind of hard to tell the difference now, really. And what makes it even harder is that finding good fruit is really hard. Even though it's in season, right now, you can still get a really crappy apple if you go somewhere. Even, you know, you go to a farmer's market, you don't know what you're going to get. You go to a supermarket, you don't know what you're going to get. It's likely the farmer's market fruit will be better than the supermarket fruit, but even that, you never know. I bought some really bad peaches this summer from my farmer, so fruit is a gamble. Fruit is definitely a gamble. Remember that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer returned the fruit to the fruit market. I think we should all return fruit more often. And, you know, generally speaking, your local fruit's going to be better. Of course, you buy from a farmer. It's going to travel a shorter distance. It's going to be fresher, taste better. And what's really cool is that I've noticed that a lot of supermarkets and mega stores, you know, the big one that starts with a W, they're making an effort now. They're actually, you know, they have these initiatives, these local initiatives to sell local fruit. And that's good. But it sits around for a long time in those stores. And often the apples and things like that are on display and they're unrefrigerated. If they're unrefrigerated, they're going to start to lose some flavor and lose some quality. Because, you know, fruit is perishable. It dies if you don't take care of it. And it's got to stay chilled. Or it just starts to die off. Or at least keep it cold. And I've noticed also in the supermarkets that are making the local food initiative that they like to put them in those little paper bags that look like you just went to the farm stand and bought them. You know, those little like half bushel paper bags with a handle. It makes them look, you know, kind of farmy, country. And they put it right up front in the produce section when you walk in so that you see them and you go, oh, look, local apples, which of course they want you to do. But they're not keeping them cold. So they are going to lose quality. I guess in theory that fruit is moving over. It's turning over faster because it's coming in. I don't know. But, you know, you got to watch out, too, for those kind of display tricks because some stores like to transfer the fruit that they get in into crates that are marked with fake farm names. Have you heard about this? There's a certain large food retailer. I'm not going to name names, but they pride themselves on their kind of greenness and their commitment to organics. And they do that. They actually have crates made up with fake farm names painted on them. And then they buy their fruit from the, you know, gigantic distributors. And then they put it into the fake farm name crates so that it all looks a little more cozy, homespun, kind of country farm-esque. And then they put that on display. I think that's a little sleazy. I would say that those are real apples being presented in a foodiness kind of way. But despite that, they're still selling good fruit. And good fruit is hard to find, you know, like a man. Good fruit, a good apple, it's still hard to find. You can find fruit in a lot of places now. I mean, you know, at your like crappiest convenience store, or, you know, in the airport or at a deli, there's always going to be like that basket by the door with a few shiny apples and old bananas. But it's not going to taste very good, that fruit. And I think that's what turns people off from eating actual fruit versus, you know, like fruit-filled pastries, toaster pastry, is that they say, oh, well, you know, instead of grabbing this whatever bar, I'll get the apple. And then they pick up that apple, and the apple really tastes like shit because it's been sitting in a basket in a convenience store for 3 months. Like last month, I was out in Portland, which is, you know, you can't get more real food than Portland. And I was staying in a hotel that offered a continental breakfast, a free continental breakfast, which I'll get into on another show because it was really horrendous what they were offering. You know, it was like Rice Krispies in a styrofoam bowl and little, you know, packets with donuts in them and seriously bad stuff. But they had the requisite bowl of fruit on the side. Like, oh, look, we offer fresh fruit. And, if you know, there we are in Portland, Oregon. Some of the best apples in the world are grown right in that region. And these were like horrible, mealy old apples from God knows where. Sitting there in that basket by the door and nobody was eating them because they sucked. And how are people supposed to love and embrace fruit if the fruit you give them just sucks? So, you know, it's another tough one. It's like the snacking dilemma, like I talked about previously. You know, you're away from your kitchen. You want to eat something. You want to eat the right thing. You want real food, and you can't find real food. All you can find is foodiness food. So you always have to make this choice. You know, is like an old mealy 7-Eleven apple going to be a better choice for you, nutritionally speaking, than something like an apple Nutri-Grain bar? Well, yes, absolutely. The six-month-old mealy 7-Eleven apple is always going to be a better choice for you than the processed apple paste-filled bar. And I'm going to get to those bars later on in the show. We're going to go in depth with the bars. But, you know, even when you're traveling, you're at a deli or a cafeteria, you're in an airport, you know, there's always that basket of fruit right there by the door. Yeah, I would say even though it tastes like shit, you're still going to be better off. Even tonight, I always have this problem on Tuesdays on the way to the show. I always come from a show planning meeting and I'm hungry. I always screw up the timing. So I bought a banana in a drugstore, believe it or not. You know, it was okay. I mean, all bananas pretty much taste the same, but I bought the banana because I didn't want to have to buy some kind of processed thing. So if you've never eaten like really, really good fruit, if you've never experienced like a perfect apple that you just picked or a really ripe strawberry or, you know, a peach at its prime, would it make any difference to you if you were given that choice? Would you still pick the Pop-Tart or the fruit bar? It's hard to say. I think maybe a lot of us grew up not even understanding or appreciating what the taste of that real food is because we never had it available to us. Because we grew up with supermarkets and supermarket fruit comes, you know, from thousands of miles and it tastes bad. And maybe you didn't have that experience. I was lucky I lived where farms are, so I had that experience. But I think a lot of people can't remember how it tasted or never actually got that taste memory put into their brain. And fruitiness as fruit doesn't compare to that because it's not really fruit. It's just fruity substances repurposed into other products. You know, and even if we're going to just look at it from like a nutritional point of view, if that matters to people, eat real fruit, it's like taking a vitamin bomb. Like you can't do better than that. It's, you know, real fruit's loaded with nutrients, it's got vitamins and it's got minerals and it's got a ton of fiber and it's got water, which is important in your food, and it's got phytonutrients, which are pigments, all the stuff that's really great for you. You can't really get that same bang for your buck from anything but the real thing. And once the fruit or the vegetable or whatever it is that we're talking about gets processed into paste and concentrates and then, you know, put back into these kind of processed things, the fruit just kind of loses its vitality and its quality. And it basically gets just reduced down to pure sugar. You take that fruit and you process it and you just turn it into sugar. And then because of that, they say, oh, well, there's fruit in it. We have to have some nutrition. So they put synthetic vitamins back in to make up for all that processing. So I was wondering, you know, I've said this on previous shows too, like if you had a packaged item like this, like a, you know, fruit and grain bar, if they put on the package what was really in there, not just the ingredients, but like what it actually was made of or the, you know, what it actually was in the package, would you still eat it? Would you still buy it? I mean, they call it fruit, but it's not really fruit. It's sort of the, it's like an Orwellian version of fruit. It's like newspeak or doublethink fruit. It's not really fruit. It's called fruit. We accept it as fruit. So doesn't it seem like we're just better off eating fruit? Then there's no mystery, but there's a big payoff. The foodiness-izing fruit, fruitiness, to me seems to be like the number one sort of iconic ultimate way that we've really gone down that rabbit hole. I talked about this last week, how we're so deep down the rabbit hole now of foodiness that, you know, where we don't even eat the real stuff anymore because maybe we can't even tell the difference. We've been blinded by foodiness and we can't even tell the difference between the two, like what's real and what's fake. And there are, I think, probably more foodiness fruit products out there than maybe any other category. And like I said, it requires some effort to get the real fruit. I mean, you have to remember that, you know, real food is inconvenient food. Maybe you don't have a farmer's market nearby, you know, but, well, the good news is you can get it in supermarkets, like I was saying, or, you know, even megastores have a better produce section out. So you're always better off with the real thing. And even if those apples aren't local, maybe they're coming from Washington or New Zealand or Chile and, you know, really far away, really out of season, the carbon footprint of that apple is still going to be smaller than that apple-flavored gummy snack or fruit roll-up, you know, if you care about that stuff. If you don't care about it, simply just eat it because it tastes better and it's better for you. Making those products requires like massive industrial production. I mean, first of all, you're growing the fruit, then the fruit has to be picked and it has to be transported and it has to be processed and it has to be turned into like the slurry, the Soylent Green product. Then you have to grow the wheat and the corn and the oat flour to make the product. And then that all has to be put together and then that has to be packaged. And then that all has to be put on a truck and it has to be shipped a million miles out. So you got about a zillion times more resources being used to make a fruit bar as opposed to just a little apple flying up on a plane from Chile. So I'm okay with buying the non-local, non-seasonal fruit too, if it means that you're actually going to eat the fruit and not the fruit bar. And even though I'm supposed to be sitting here in Brooklyn screaming at you about eating only organic and local and seasonal, the show is called Let's Get Real. And I like to present a realistic approach to all of this because I'm not a Nazi. I'm not an extremist. And even though apples appear on what's called the Dirty Dozen list for pesticide residue, if you can't get organic apples, you're still better off eating a regular non-organic apple than you are eating a Foodiness apple product. Because that one unorganic regular apple will still have a lot less harmful stuff in it than one bowl of Apple Jacks has in it. Plus, of course, it's going to be a whole lot better for you. And, you know, what you want to also think about with those products is that Foodiness Nutrition is based on science done by Foodiness companies. And they're the ones funding the research for the nutrition. And that sort of nutrition is all about reducing food to the sum of its individual nutrients, like pulling those individual nutrients out and then putting them back in out of context into other products. So no one really knows what that's doing to us. When you take something out of context like that and put it back into a product, we're not really sure how those nutrients then actually kind of perform in our bodies. Like if you take the vitamin C out of a fruit and you put it in a cookie, is eating that cookie going to have the same effect on you? I don't know. Probably not. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, more about real fruit. You're listening to Let's Get Real on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. So remember earlier I was saying how when I was a little kid, we basically only ate real food in our house, or real fruit, and not much foodiness. Well, that only really lasted up until my teen years because then my parents got divorced and everything kind of just went to hell. And because of lack of money and lack of time and general apathy, we started to buy more foodiness, and I think also it coincided with the era, the 80s, when a lot of that stuff really started getting onto the market. So we started to buy it. We bought into it. And one of the things that I remember very clearly buying and eating was something called Nutri-Grain cereal, and then later on Nutri-Grain bars. And it was, I think, one of the first real, like, foodiness kind of, like, oh, eat me, I'm really good for you kind of products, you know, other than maybe, like, granola. So the bars made it even, you know, simpler. You could just put it in your pocket and take it to school. And I think they were, you know, one of the sort of the proto foodiness products of the era. Now, if you've ever taken a look at my website, which is letsgetrealshow.com, I have something on there called the 6 degrees of foodiness scale, where I start out with a real apple. And I work my way down through the 6 degrees of foodiness. A real apple, of course, is a real apple. And then every degree away from the apple we get deeper and deeper down that rabbit hole of foodiness. Now, I was going to go into the whole scale, but I'm running out of time here tonight. So you need to go to the website, letsgetrealshow.com, check out the scale, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But basically, you know, in the beginning, there was the apple, and then we all fell from grace from there through the various degrees, non-organic apples, pesticides, fungicides, all that, processing them in simple ways by drying, pureeing, which are fine, things like that, and down and down and down the list where it becomes to the point where in certain products made with apples, you wind up with more ingredients in the product than actual apple. And then ultimately down to the fifth and sixth degrees of foodiness, where you're basically just looking at a product that has apple flavoring in it or apples that have been processed to such a degree that they've basically just become like sugar clones of themselves. So you should check that out. But what I want to talk about is those Nutri-Grain bars, because they were something I ate. And I wanted to kind of see where they fell on that spectrum of foodiness, because I totally bought into it when I was a kid. I mean, we thought, oh, these look really great. They're made with whole grains and there's fruit in them. And so my research assistant, Belinda Rodriguez, who's great, my trusty assistant, did a little digging because she grew up eating them too, although she's like 20 years younger than me. So they're still out there. And she was really horrified as to what she came up with. So it turns out that these bars, and I think, you know, this is for this specific brand, but I'm sure there are many other ones out there on the market that kind of follow the same framework. So they claim to be this healthy food. You know, they're full of fruit and whole grains and vitamins. It turns out they're actually fifth degree foodiness. Now, fifth degree foodiness is when the additives and ingredients on the packaging outnumber the actual good thing itself. So if you're calling it like a fruit and grain bar, but you have more ingredients on there, more additives, more chemicals than the actual fruit, you're at fifth degree foodiness. So it's things like, you know, apple flavored yogurt for kids that comes in a squeeze tube and is dyed green and has 15 ingredients before you get to the actual fruit, you know, or those, my favorite subject, the fruit-filled toaster pastries, whether they're organic or not, that have, you know, same thing, 64 ingredients before you get to the fruit. Or lists of ingredients that sound like something that would be used to manufacture paper or some sort of industrial product, modified food starch and BHT and diglycerides and methyl cellulose and guar gum and all of these things that, yes, technically they're edible, but I don't really want them in my food. So back to those bars. Anyway, so Belinda did a little digging around, and we decided that, yes, they are fifth degree foodiness. So basically one notch up from a bowl of Apple Jacks, which don't even claim to have any real fruit in them. So it's not like they're trying to deceive us. And she also found out that they've introduced something new in the line, two new flavors called Super Fruit Fusion. Now, those are two words that you see thrown around a lot these days. Super fruits, things like pomegranate and acai and goji berries, these, you know, mythical superfruits from the Amazon that are going to cure us of all of our disease. And fusion, which, being a chef coming from the restaurant industry, I find the word fusion like sort of embarrassing because it reminds me of like confusion, like bad Asian fusion from the 80s and 90s. But now in the processed food world, fusion is a big deal, apparently. So they're trying to bank on that like health trend of antioxidants by throwing in these super fruit versions of the bars. But actually, they're nutritionally identical to the old bars. The only difference is they've added in a little synthetic vitamin C and vitamin E. But other than that, they are completely identical. So super fruit is still super foodiness, as far as I'm concerned. So let's look at the ingredients of these super fruit fusion bars. So we're going to look at the cherry pomegranate filling on this one. So this is just the fruit filling, okay? Remember that on food products, the ingredients have to be listed in the order of the amount that they're used. So the most of an ingredient is listed first, right? So if something has, you know, the most ingredient in it is flour, then that's the first thing. Okay, so here's the ingredients. Invert sugar, which is sort of like corn syrup, basically. It's sugar that's been processed so it doesn't crystallize. So invert sugar, corn syrup, water, glycerin. Glycerin is a petrochemical that's used to make things like smoother. Cherry puree concentrate, sugar, modified cornstarch, pomegranate juice concentrate. Okay, so that's filling. So cherry concentrate is the fifth ingredient, and pomegranate juice is the eighth. So there's not really any fruit in there. Not a lot of fruit. There's little amounts of fruit juice concentrates. When you cook a fruit juice down to a concentrate, you're basically reducing it down to a sugar syrup. So that's what they're putting in there. So the antioxidants on the package, you know, trumpets with antioxidants, that's the synthetic vitamin C and E that are added back in. That's not coming from the actual fruit. And because they're added back in and they're synthetic, you're not really going to absorb them very efficiently. Now, the original Nutri-Grain bars don't have C and E added. But beyond that, the ingredients for the superfruit flavor bars are the same as the originals. And those antioxidants are not coming from the superfruits. No point in putting them in. You're not getting anything from them. So, on top of that, each bar has 13 grams of sugar. So, what that means is that by weight, they're 35% sugar. Each bar weighs 37 grams. So, 13 grams of sugar means that they're about a third of sugar by weight. Now, this is something that you're supposed to have for breakfast or have for a snack. So for reference sake, just so you can get a kind of a grasp on that, a tablespoon of fruit preserves, like a jam, has 12 grams of sugar. And fruit spreads that have no sugar added, like all fruit type spreads, have 8 grams. So you're better off for breakfast eating toast with jam, like a slice of whole wheat toast with jam, sugar added or not. You're going to get less sugar and you're going to get actual antioxidants from the whole wheat in the whole wheat toast and real fiber from the whole wheat toast. And you actually will get some vitamins from that jam, regardless of whether it's the sugar added or not. So you could eat a piece of toast and jam and have a better meal than that Nutri-Grain bar. So they're inferior to the toast. Now let's talk about the whole grains. We're running out of time here, but whole grains in these bars don't really come from the grains themselves. Well, let me rephrase that. So the bars are made from oat flour and wheat flour. Okay, not a terrible thing. Whole wheat flour, whole oat flour. There's 8 grams of whole grain in the bar. So if there's 8 grams of whole grain in the total bar, that's the equivalent of less than 1/10 of a cup of oatmeal. So that's not very impressive. You could eat a cup of oatmeal and get way more whole grains. So it's the equivalent of 1/10 of a cup of oatmeal in the bar itself. And they're still claiming that there's all this fiber in the bar. They claim that there's 3 grams of fiber in the bar, which is 10% of your daily value, which isn't a whole lot, but it's actually more than you should be getting from the amount of oatmeal that's in there. So where does all that fiber come from? Well, it turns out they add into it a food additive called soluble corn fiber, which is basically a byproduct of corn processing. It's like adding in, you know, corn starch. It's soluble corn fiber so that it ups the fiber amount enough that they can say it's got this certain amount of fiber in it. So you have a product that's making a whole grain health claim, but it doesn't contain enough whole grains to make a difference. So it makes up for that by adding in this weird industrial ingredient instead. So where's that toast with jam I was talking about? Oh, and another thing they put in them is something called TBHQ, also known as butane. I don't know if you remember when I talked about chicken nuggets, how they have butane in them too. I like to get my butane in lighter form generally when I have to light things. I don't really want it in my breakfast bars. So then there's another variety here of yogurt flavored Nutri-Grain bars, and this is a really interesting one. So it's the same story. The label says it's an excellent source of calcium. But when you look at the ingredients for the yogurt filling, this is what they are in this order: high fructose corn syrup, glycerin, there it is again, water, fructose, modified cornstarch, partially hydrogenated soybean and cottonseed oil, non-fat yogurt powder, strawberry puree concentrate. So yogurt powder is the seventh ingredient, and it comes after the trans fat, the hydrogenated oil. But the label says 0 grams of trans fat, because you can say that if you have less than 1 gram. So if you have less than 1 gram of trans fat, you can say it has 0 grams of trans fat. That means that the amount of yogurt in there has to be less than 1 gram, because the yogurt's listed after the trans fat. Now again, the whole bar, 37 grams. So the yogurt powder makes up 1/37th of the bar. So where's the calcium coming from? They say it's an excellent source of calcium. Where's it coming from? Well, again, they add it back in using an industrial sort of product. They add calcium into the crust. The calcium is added into the crust. The yogurt filling has literally nothing to do with the calcium in the bar. Nothing at all. You really can't take something like yogurt so far away from its actual self and expect it to perform like yogurt anymore. And that's kind of what foodiness is. You're taking that thing so far down that rabbit hole, so far away from its actual self, that you can't even recognize it as the real thing anymore. So in these bars, the fiber isn't coming from the whole grains, the antioxidants are not coming from the superfruits, and the calcium isn't coming from the yogurt or yogurt powder. So let's just reimagine what those wrappers would say on these bars if they actually had in them, or if they actually admitted what they had in them. So it may say something like, Nutri-Grain bars, 20% whole grains, 34% sugar. Or yogurt bars, now with more trans fats than yogurt. Or superfruit fusion bars, same old Nutri-Grain bar, now with synthetic vitamin C and E added back in. This is seriously foodiness. I mean, in its most insidious form. So what's the answer? Of course, eat real food. Real food is for regular people, for all of us. Foodiness is for no one. No one deserves to eat that. So if you can't go out and pick your own apples, like I was able to do, or even get to a farmer's market, at least go to the supermarket, buy yourself some goddamn real apples. I mean, seriously. You know, I know that having the opportunity to go to a farmer's market can seem unrealistic or indulgent or, you know, completely out of the question for a lot of people if you don't live near one. You know, like it's something only like foodie people would do, or people really into food and not regular people. But that's because, like, the foodiness machine, the food industry, has made it seem that way for us. They want us to think that real food is so inconvenient that, here, take this bar instead. They've basically robbed us of the real food experience, or in this case, the real fruit experience, and replaced it with that evil doppelganger. It's not extremism if you know the truth about this sort of food. So like I say every week, if you don't want to eat shit, you better listen to this show to Let's Get Real. Next week, we're going to be talking about meat, why we have these little pointy teeth on the side, and why we're meant to eat it. See you next week.
Hey, we're Cloud Control, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on HeritageRadioNetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The
following is a message from Jones Family Farms. Jones Family Farms is a 400-acre working farm offering quality agricultural products all year round, from fresh summer berries to Christmas trees in the winter, and an award-winning winery that is open from April to December. The reach of the Jones Family Farms is hard to capture, from their advocacy work through the Working Lands Alliance to ongoing classes in the Harvest Kitchen. Jones Family Farms is as passionate about education as it is about farming. Whether you're picking fresh strawberries or exploring local wines, we hope you're inspired to learn more about Connecticut farming. Visit www.jonesfamilyfarms.com for more information.